Well, it's the first Monday of the month, which means it's time for another installment of Mondays with Mike. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 8 minutes past 8 o'clock on this Monday, June the 6th. Wisconsin Public Radio's director, Mike Crane, is here to answer your questions and to respond to your feedback about Wisconsin Public Radio. 1-800-642-1234 if you have a question or a concern. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Mike is also here to share some news with you about Wisconsin Public Radio, and we are happy to have him in the studio. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning. Always good to be here.
Yeah, it's nice to have you here. A little bit later in the program, we will also be welcoming in the producer of the audio essay series Wisconsin Life, which celebrates the unique, distinctive, and cherished aspects of our state. So a bonus guest during this edition of Mondays with Mike coming up in about 10 minutes or so. Mike, we just had a caller in our state capitol report with Sean Johnson asking how Wisconsin Public Radio was treated in the state budget that passed out of the Joint Finance Committee on Friday. How did we fare?
Well, it was Jim. I was listening as I was getting ready for the show, and Jim had something very right, which is that it can be hard to explain. And you and Sean were talking about how Wisconsin Public Radio is a partnership between the Educational Communications Board, which is a state agency, and also the University of Wisconsin Extension. And as a result of that, our budgets come from several different places. So it can get very layered explaining it. But specifically what was in the news was the budget for the Educational Communications Board, which was considered by Joint Finance about a week or so ago. And it was reported in the papers there was about a $600,000 cut. That's right. It was also noted, and Jim said this too, that it seemed to be more than some other agencies. And by some measure, that seems to be correct. One of the things that's in there is that we have, after the transition to digital television, actually had a savings of about $95,000 a year, specifically because for those several years when there was analog and digital television, we were operating two television transmitters in each of our locations. So there was an ongoing savings from that was captured in the budget cut. Also, elimination of some long-term vacancies, so we don't have to cut those again. So the hurt there has to do with not being able to fill those positions that we'd been unable to fill for an extended time. And so boiling it down, the net impact on WPR from that appears to be something that we can manage. And I don't have a specific figure yet. We're still working with ECB on our final budgets. But by way of manage, we economize. We've absorbed some of those administrative costs by simply having fewer people on board. And knock on wood, I think that'll be okay. I don't want to leave alone the University of Wisconsin Extension side of things, but we don't have numbers there yet because in that context, we're a part of the larger cut that happens to all of the university, and we'll see what the final number is there. We've been asked to budget for about a 5% impact on that particular side of things. So feels okay. You know, we've said all along, we had visits with legislators way back in January, and we said that we understood that Wisconsin Public Broadcasting would need to be part of the solution to the budget, and we think that's how things are working out.
So stay tuned for that. What about on the federal level? Any news there, Mike?
No news. What we're watching right now are the two things that are coming up. The ongoing debate about the debt ceiling, because it's possible that public broadcasting could be cut as part of the debate about that. Don't know yet, because that debate is very hot at the moment, as everybody following the news knows. And then also there is this subsequent budget discussion for the next year budget. And again, the possibility that we would be cut could happen. And so for the moment, I'd say that people who really want to avidly follow this, they could look at the website 170millionamericans.org. That's the number 170millionamericans.org. And as things become more specific to an impact on Wisconsin public broadcasting, we'll have that on our websites as time goes on.
I know that there are a lot of things happening in the Big Top Chautauqua area this summer, Mike. There are some special shows, and we're trying to get a new Wisconsin Public Radio station in that area.
We sure are. We're very excited about that. Going back to the very beginnings of our history, we have been driving to serve all of Wisconsin with Wisconsin Public Radio programming, and we have a couple of what they call translators, which are very low power repeaters that are in that area right now in the Ashland, Bayfield, and so on area. And what's really exciting is we have a new transmitter for the Ideas Network that's almost ready. We're doing the final fundraising for that, working with local partners. And so sometime, we hope late this summer or early fall, we'll have the new 90.9 FM on in that area, and has a much larger coverage area. By rough way of comparison, the current little translator is about 23 watts, and the new transmitter is over 20,000 watts. I'm forgetting the exact number off the top of my head. I think it's 26,000, but it's about 100 times the power, and so has a much more significant coverage area. And that'll be Ideas Network programming. We're trying to raise $85,000 as a match for a federal grant that we got to do the construction.
And are we going to try to raise some money with these trips to the Big Top Chautauqua?
Yes, although those are not specific to this project. That's to get people from more of the southern part of the state to go see the Big Top, an awful lot of fun. And there's a trip August 11th and 12th to the Big Top. And I'm going to give a phone number. There is information on our regional websites, but it's frankly, even I have to talk to folks and say, you got to make this easier to find, folks. Mm-hmm. There's an 800 number if people want to get a pencil out. I'll give that. And this is for information on our Big Top trip for August 11th and 12th. The 800 number is 800-228-5615. 800-228-5615. And as I say, it is on our websites, on the regional sites. Like I see the information here on the Wausau part of our website, and you can get a little more detail there as well.
So what other news do you want to share with listeners this morning?
Well, I'll be excited to share some samples of the Wisconsin Life program that Ann will be in about in a few minutes. That'll be great. Really had a wonderful experience this past week, and have another one this coming week on the News and Classical channel. We do a wonderful partnership for classical music for young performers that we do with the Madison Symphony and with Wisconsin Public Television, and that results in a radio broadcast live and a television broadcast that's taped. That was several months ago, and we celebrated this last Thursday and again this coming Friday with broadcasts with two of the winners, and a little studio concert in our own Buck studio here in Madison, and that was terrific. Also, I remember just the second, I want to return to the Big Top. Not only do we have the trips that we were talking about and the new station, but Michael Feldman is taking What Do You Know to the Big Top. That's going to be
cool.
July 9th, that's Saturday, and July 8th, Capitol Steps are there. So really a feast of public radio stuff there, and I know that a bunch of us will be up there as well to celebrate and join the folks in the area in enjoying the Big Top.
I'm reading here, and I'm excited about this, is that we're going to have more Wisconsin Public Radio programming available for podcasting soon?
What we're trying to do is reach the point where all of the shows on the Ideas Network are podcastable. So what that really means is something that's a step more than what you can do now. Right now, you can go to our website, and using the WCAST system, you can download it. But that's something that you have to do by clicking a bunch of clicks and remembering to do it and so on. And believe me, a lot of people do that. But what a podcast is a subscription. So once you set it, you can forget it. Every time you connect your podcast software, you get the latest editions. And we're working through all of the details to make that possible for all of our Ideas Network shows.
And we have received some, we receive letters and emails and comments in our audience services department, and we'll share some of those as we go along. One that I'd like to share, we see it from time to time, wondering why certain callers are heard more than once a week on Ideas Network talk shows. You want to talk about our policy and how that works?
Well, one thing is that it's a self-policing policy. We ask listeners to police themselves, and some are better at it than others, to be sure. And we have a challenge, which is that while from an individual show, such as the Joy Cardine Show, I think we're pretty good at noticing all of those things, we have discussed that we don't do as well with tracking across shows. And the mechanism for doing that, we have to work on, and that's why for many, many years, the policy is basically asked that listeners police themselves. And as I say, some aren't so good at it, and there are also sometimes conditions where we might not be enforcing the rules, for instance, during an open line, where we just want everybody to call. Or another example might be that, sometimes there aren't a lot of calls lined up. Other times, there's a comment we have from someone who tried to get through. It turned out to be a rebroadcast. So we had all the lines busy, so they couldn't get through. And God bless them, they missed a class they had paid for because they were so eager to get through to be on the air, and they couldn't. And so when that happens, or when there are an awful lot of calls, that will be a different condition than when there just isn't a lot coming in.
We'll take one call before we welcome in our bonus guest. Don in Madison is with us. Hello, Don.
How are you today, Joy?
Very good. How are you?
Pretty good. Now, I do not want these comments to sound like complaints, even though they do.
Okay. Even though they are. Okay.
Go for it.
Because I dearly love public radio, but I've been trying to get on to voice my concerns in this area for a long time, so bear with me. I'm concerned about how much time is spent on your show, like this one, for example, on subject matter aside from other stuff that has to get done. For example, 7 to 8 minutes are taken up at the start of each hour and sometimes at the middle of the hour for news.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Then there has to be a periodic announcement of telephone numbers and internet stuff. Then there are comments on advanced programs that are coming up later in the day. And then there are, I hate to use this word, but commercials. I know you folks don't like that word, but you do have commercials.
Can I ask you, Don?
Yeah.
Can I stop you right there and ask you what you mean when you say commercials? Do you mean the promos for future shows?
I was about to tell you.
Yeah, okay. Sorry.
When you talk about things like Mineral Point, advertising that, the goings on there, the Sheboygan one that's running now, that it ends with, how do you, Sheboygan?
Ah, okay. The underwriting announcements, yeah.
I call those commercials. Now,
I understand that, but I want to get right at that one because they really aren't commercials for a number of reasons, including the very strong rules that we must follow for those announcements. Those are meant to be acknowledgments of donations. And this goes back to, I think it was President Reagan's administration that one of the things that was a trade-off for cutting the federal contribution to public broadcasting at that time is what they called enhanced underwriting. And that does permit some things like the slogan that you hear for the Sheboygan thing. But there are a lot of rules, like we cannot offer, and this is a very big part of what commercial radio, commercial television make their money on. We can't do things like promoting a sale. We can't have that kind of promotion. So I get you. I understand from a perception standpoint, it feels like a commercial to you. And I know that that is something that's shared by some listeners. But from a technical standpoint, we're forever having to explain to our donors, our corporate donors, oh, no, we can't say that. Oh, no, can't do that. And it really is a source of frustration in some cases.
And Don, I know what he's saying. He's hearing the underwriting announcements. He's hearing promotional announcements. He's hearing newscasts. He's hearing, you forgot weather, Don. We also give the weather forecast in the early morning hours. I think Don thinks that there's more of that stuff, and let's tighten that up or get rid of some of that stuff and have more talk show. I mean, but all that stuff, the other stuff is important too, isn't it, Mike?
Well, you know.
Maybe we can get rid of some of that stuff. That's okay with me too.
There are a few different pieces too, and I really appreciate, Don, you're listing the different things that are going on. Some of those things are simply requirements, like the break we're about to take is a requirement of how we're scheduled as a network, so that our local stations can do their IDs and their promos and that sort of thing. But we'd have this internal debate all the time. Is a newscast of that first 6 or 7 minutes too long? Do we really need the middle of the hour newscast? And the decision we've made thus far is that a lot of people are interested in the news in the morning, and maybe we need to offer it at least at some level for that reason. But I really appreciate the comment.
Thank you very much, Don. We do need to move on. We are talking with Mike Crane, director of Wisconsin Public Radio, about Wisconsin Public Radio. And we welcome your questions for him and your feedback at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org or post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, along with Mike Crane, the director of Wisconsin Public Radio, and a bonus guest today during this edition of Mondays with Mike. We like to feature some of our other programs on this program, and Ann Strange Champs is here. Ann is producer of To the Best of Our Knowledge and the audio essay series Wisconsin Life, which celebrates the unique, distinctive, and cherished aspects of our state. And Ann joins us in the studio, too. Good morning, Ann.
Hi, Joy. It's a pleasure to be here.
It's really nice to have you, and I really, really enjoy this audio essay series, Wisconsin Life. Remind us when we can hear it on Wisconsin Public Radio.
It airs on the NPR News and Classical Music Network on Friday mornings at 6:35 and 8:35 in the morning. Same piece, just repeated once, so you have a couple of chances to catch it. And usually one other day during the week. It's often Wednesdays, sometimes it's Thursdays, depending on how long it takes us to get the tape cut together.
And I'll tell you, I'm very so happy to hear some of these pieces. I can listen to them online as well, which
yeah,
you can do.
They're on the website. It's wisconsinlife.org is the blog for this show, and all the audio is up there. Of course, right now, the IdeasNet listeners can't hear it except online, but I do encourage you to check it out. We've got a lot of pieces up there so far.
Well, and we might change that in terms of whether Ideas Network listeners can hear them or not. I'm very interested, especially during my Friday 6 o'clock hour where we focus on Wisconsin life and what's special about Wisconsin. A lot of these pieces would be a nice addition to that, I think.
Oh, that would be great.
Yeah. So what is the mission of Wisconsin Life?
Well, pretty much what you said. Wisconsin Life is, there are so many ways you can describe it, but it's really intended to capture a sense of place. What is it about Wisconsin that makes us Wisconsin rather than, you know, Minnesota or Michigan or Missouri or Texas? And, you know, part of the idea is that when you listen to Wisconsin Public Radio, you should have a sense that this is your state radio system and that it conveys a sense of the deep character of the place where we live. And I like to think of sense of place as a combination of kind of three elements. So there's landscape or environment, gives you a sense of where you are.
And sometimes that's the built environment as well.
Absolutely. No, that the can be the farm buildings, the barns that are unique in Wisconsin. Wisconsin, the small towns or our cities, Madison, Milwaukee, Superior. So there's the landscape and natural world. There's history, the deep layers of both natural history and human history that have kind of built up over the years that give us a sense of who we are, our character, the people who came here first and the things they did here. And then there's community, the people who live here and the stories and connections we make and the communities we build. And if you think of those as kind of a set of three interlocking circles, that's the mission. That's the sort of stuff that Wisconsin Life comes out of. So individual pieces may capture different aspects of the state.
Where do you get your ideas?
Oh, my gosh. They are all over. But I'm very lucky to have some wonderful partners on Wisconsin Life. One is the Wisconsin Humanities Council has wonderfully come in as a partner on this series. And, of course, they've been covering exactly this subject matter for years in Wisconsin. And also the assistant producer on Wisconsin Life is Erica Janik, who many of you may know as a very accomplished historian of Wisconsin. So she's written Odd Wisconsin, Amusing, mm-hmm. Perplexing, and so on, Anecdotes. She's written histories of Madison, and she has a book on apples coming out, and so on.
Oh, apples. That sounds like a perfect Wisconsin Life a feature down the road.
Oh, we're thinking of more than one.
Well, give us an example of some of the topics
you've
covered.
Sure. Well, I brought you in just a little sampler if you want to play any. Mm-hmm. All the Wisconsin Life pieces are 3 minutes long, so I cut a few of them down a little bit. So if you want to, we could start with one track, which is a portrait of one of the cheese sellers up at Madison's Farmers Market.
My name is Willie Lehner from Bluemont Dairy. My Earthschmier cheese, it's my own creation. That's a real stinky cheese, like beyond Limburger. It's skanky. It's even over the top for me. You want to try? Okay. I have people pick up a piece of that, and I said, have you had this kind of cheese before? And they say, no. I said, let me give you a taste first before you commit to it. Yeah. The bacteria that's used to make this is the same bacteria that's used to make your feet stinky. My European, German, French clientele love this stuff. I give them a taste. They go, "Oh my God, we're in a country that doesn't have good cheese," and they taste this, and they go, "All right." You can just stick it right on there. You don't have to eat it. It's not for everybody. You won't hurt my feelings.
You're listening to Wisconsin Public Radio.
I'm sorry if you heard me burst out laughing when he talked about stinky cheese. I wasn't expecting that right away, but very cute, very nice.
There used to be a children's book called The Stinky Cheese Man. Many people will remember. And so another example would be, I'll play you a couple of other little short things. Michael Perry, whom many know as one of Wisconsin's most accomplished writers, lives up near Eau Claire, and producer Todd Witter went and paid him a visit and recorded. This was during hunting season. And Michael Perry's also the kind of guy who kind of makes his own inventions, and this is one of them.
Over here you can see this homemade deer skinning device. This is one of the few things that I made and designed that worked out pretty good, but it's made out of a ratchet from a boat trailer. You know, you see people hauling their boats in from the water. I used that ratchet, and I bought some cable and a couple of pulleys. And then that's called a snatch block arrangement, where it goes up to the rafters and back over the two pulleys. And then what you do is you get your deer out here and you hook the deer to the pulley, and then you raise the pulley. And when it gets to a certain height, you start skinning the deer with your knife. And then once you get the skinning started, you take this vice grip and you just clip it onto the hide. And you hook the chain to the frame, which is immovable. And then you hook the chain through the wrench that's attached to the deer hide. Turn this ratchet, and it lifts the deer up, and it just pulls the hide right off. So that's redneck engineering at its finest, if I do say so myself.
I'm glad it was Michael Perry ending that particular segment.
All right. So, and they're not all funny. Mm-hmm. There's another, and some are, as you're probably getting a sense, some you're probably getting the sense are recorded on location and are full of natural sound. Sometimes we run music under them, as we did with Willie Lehner's piece, and some are just beautiful pieces of writing by some of Wisconsin's poets and writers. So this is a little, I'll ask you to play just a bit and we can just pull it down after a bit. It's Catherine Jago, who's a Madison poet, and track three.
When summer comes to Wisconsin, there is a brief, intoxicating interlude before the mosquitoes arrive, when everyone dons shorts and you can work in the yard without becoming part of the food chain. The light turns soft and milky, and the air itself feels amorous. Everything's in bloom, nodding capsules of bleeding heart, the secret rapture of lilies of the valley, embroidered Dutchman's breeches, exploding pink phlox. On the edge of the golf course, apple and cherry trees are flouncing around in their frothy hoops.
That was a lovely one, and I do recall hearing that one just recently. That was
That aired just last week, and that's Catherine Jago, a wonderful Madison poet and writer, and she was writing about her annual tradition of going out to look for the woodcocks, who make their sort of dramatic displays and very special mating calls right around this time of year.
Well, I know that you have some other examples here, but for the listeners who might have an idea for a Wisconsin Life featured, can they get a hold of you?
Absolutely, and I would suggest you do it through that website again, wisconsinlife.org. It's our blog, and you can comment on any of the pieces and send us email through there also. I think we also have a Facebook page. I should know. Yes, we do. But wisconsinlife.org is a great place to begin.
And what are some that we can anticipate hearing, perhaps, in the near future?
Oh, so many. Well, I mentioned Erica Janik, our wonderful Wisconsin historian, who, unbeknownst to me, has... Erica really loves Harvest Queens and Dairy Queens, and as in Alice in Dairyland. And I know a new Alice in Dairyland was just elected and takes up her duties next week, in fact. And we've got a wonderful piece from Erica about the long history of agricultural queens. Think of them as modern day farm goddesses. And let's see, what else do we have coming up? My mind always goes blank. Well, Cynthia Woodland is preparing a piece on Juneteenth, another holiday coming up in mid-June. And gosh.
Well, I hope that we can play these on the Ideas Network during the Friday 6 o'clock hour when we focus on Wisconsin Life as well. Anne, thank you so much
for
being here.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, Anne Strainchamps, producer of the audio essay series Wisconsin Life, which celebrates the unique, distinctive, and cherished aspects of our state. Heard on the NPR News and Classical Music Network during Morning Edition, and also online, and I hope soon on this program on Fridays. Staying with me is Mike Crane, who is the director of Wisconsin Public Radio. He's with us just about every first Monday of the month to talk with you about Wisconsin Public Radio. And Mike, I wanted to focus in on this Wisconsin Life series, that this is something new and something that you think is important to share on Wisconsin Public Radio.
Not only important, but I just have to say, I'm just so thrilled that we're doing it. This is the kind of public radio that I'd say most stations aspire to do, and we're able to do it because of the incredible creative talents that people have here, and our partnerships with the Humanities Council and so on, and just the incredible number of writers and creators and interesting people. This series that we're talking about here is really just one of a whole bunch of ideas that are inside of the sort of Wisconsin Life concept. One of the things we've talked about is, and we had a taste of it here, are there ways that we could get 30 seconds or a minute of great sound? We call them sonic IDs for identifying our station. So instead of simply saying, this is WHA or this is KUWS or whatever, that you'd also hear a little snippet of sound from Wisconsin that made you say, oh yeah, we're here. We're not anywhere else. We're here, and it's beautiful.
It is, and we have some callers who are here who have questions for you, and an open line for you, too. If you have a question for Mike or some feedback you'd like to share, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org, or post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Brad in Plover is with us. Hello, Brad.
Hi, Mike and Joy. Would you consider switching WPR from being guest-based to more caller-based? For example, the guests always have the last word and it puts the callers at a disadvantage. And my other point was that Stephen Colbert mentioned that reality has a well-honed liberal bias. But I think WPR, in reaction to being from accusations on the right of having a liberal bias, they've overreacted to that charge, and at the expense of perhaps exposing the truth or truth telling on a story objectively, and they go out of their way to avoid that. And I like your comments on that, please.
Sure.
Before you give it the comments, Mike, let me, because we have such a similar call from Andy in Lake Geneva. Hello, Andy.
Yeah, hi, Joy. I want to compliment you folks on very civilized broadcasting. And, you know, and good conversation and in a very civilized way, and a lot of good ideas, and a lot of good discussion. I frankly think my only comment would be, other than that, is that you know, you want to kind of balance out between the conservative and the liberal. I mean, I'm basically conservative, and you want to kind of make sure, you know, as much as possible, that there's that balance between conservative and liberal points of view as they feed into NPR, which is public radio. And that's basically my comment.
Thank you very much, Andy. So one caller says that we need to be careful to make sure we balance conservative and liberal views, and another caller who thinks maybe Wisconsin Public Radio is bending over backwards to present conservative views maybe unnecessarily. Mike?
Well, very interesting, and I think if we had a third call, we'd find yet another view. But thank you to Brad and Andy both. I think the answer is more nuanced than conservative or liberal. And going back to the beginnings of, even before we called it the Ideas Network, we've had talk shows on Wisconsin Public Radio. And always, I think our instinct has been to try to have the most inclusive conversation that we're capable of. Now, we're humans. We all come to the table with biases. But I think that one of the jobs that all of our hosts try to do is to test against those biases and to be inclusive of callers and guests that cover a spectrum. And one of the things I don't want us to do ever is to make the assumption that there are only two sides to a story. I think in many, many cases, there are 8 or 10 or 1,000 sides to a story. And you know, we're very fond of looking back at some of the wonderful words that have been said by past citizens of Wisconsin, and one of them is the statement that the Board of Regents made about academic freedom. This goes back to some of the earlier fights at the University of Wisconsin, and they talked about the sifting and winnowing through which you find the truth. And we like to think that as part of that tradition, that journalistic freedom would be about finding the truth, knowing you'll never really get there, you know? And part of the reason that I think people want to be here working at Wisconsin Public Radio is to always work on that and acknowledging that it's more than simply liberal or conservative. On many issues, there's a vast middle. And that should be reflected as well. Also, I, going back to Brad's comment about being caller-based instead of guest-based, that's very interesting. I think when we do an open line, that certainly is the case where we're trying to find out or your views on the news that Ben does late every week. We are trying to be more caller-based in that situation. I don't know. It depends. One of the challenges is that I think many of us are interested in the expertise of a guest and testing against that. What do you think, Joy?
Certainly, if our caller was saying that perhaps we need more opportunities for follow-ups, it seemed as though he thought caller makes statement, guest has last word.
And
I guess
that does happen.
That does happen. And I'm not, you know, if it means more follow-ups, perhaps we can do that. But that means then fewer, you know, callers overall.
Well, and that's what I was going to ask you. Isn't there also a tension that you feel as a host To get a lot of calls in, as well as to allow a dialogue between.
I welcome callers. I think callers are a vital part of this program. I want to get on as many callers with different viewpoints as possible during these call-in shows. And I think it does depend on the program. A lot of times, we had a lot of news to cover in the state capitol report with Sean Johnson, for example, and a lot of audio to play from our state legislators are up to. And we weren't able to get in a lot of calls, but some of the calls may not have, so I'm sorry about that. Sometimes that happens. But I do, I think there's a balance. I think for the most part, though, there are tens of callers, Mike, and there are tens of thousands of listeners.
Yeah.
So I think we need to be listener focused and not so much caller focused.
Not even guest focused. That's right.
Right. So, but I do thank the caller, and I will try to give callers more feedback and try to get on as many as possible. Like right now, we have an open line. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org, or post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Mike Crane is with us. He is the director of Wisconsin Public Radio, and he's here to talk with you about this radio service. What you hear, what you don't hear, answer your questions, address your concerns, respond to your feedback. And it's not just about the Ideas Network. It's about all of what you hear on Wisconsin Public Radio, the NPR News and Classical Music Network, new stations going up, our website, our operations, technical issues, whatever. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, hoping you'll stay tuned. Coming up, here's one of those required promotional announcements. No, it's to let you know that Veronica Rickard is in for Kathleen Dunn coming up after 9, and Veronica and her guest will talk about the latest political news from Washington. It's all things political coming up after 9 o'clock this morning. So we hope you stay tuned. Mike Crane is with us, as he is often on the first Monday of the month, to talk with you about Wisconsin Public Radio. And we have other news to share, but since we have other calls, let me go to Terry in Menasha. Hello, Terry. Terry, are you there?
Oh, darn.
Darn, Terry. See, I was trying to be caller-focused, Mike.
it does happen. People lose the connection or something.
Right. Let's talk a little bit about the news about HD radios.
I had a really interesting interaction with a longtime supporter. This was emails a week or two ago, and she was very frustrated because she's not finding HD radios at local retailers. And there are a few that carry them. And I know that in particular, our folks in the Milwaukee studios have worked very hard to find a way to help people find HD radios. There are a number of them online, including at the NPR shop, and you'll find it at the major retailers like Amazon and so on. We really do want people to get these radios because they get even more Wisconsin Public Radio. For instance, I think one of the reasons why the folks in Milwaukee at WHAD have been so intentional about this is that on our HD2 signal, we have a full-time classical music service. And in Milwaukee, ever since the demise of WFMR, there hasn't been classical music on the radio, except it's on WHAD HD2. Mm-hmm. And you need one of the new radios to pick it up.
Mm-hmm. What's coming up on the Saturday specials? We have specials that run every Saturday afternoon at 3 on the Ideas Network.
Yeah, I mean, this has been a really fun series that we've had. All kinds of things. We've had The Moth, and we've had just different things that allow us to play parts of series, little series, that sort of thing. For instance, we're going to have a series that actually it started this past Saturday at 3 o'clock, and it's called Freakonomics Radio. Mm-hmm. Some people are familiar with the Freakonomics book and also the follow-up Super Freakonomics by Stephen Levitt and Stephen Dubner. And they explore what they call the hidden side of everything. And so now they have radio show that is going to be on through July 2nd. And then I know over the summer we'll be looking for more from the wonderful Radio Lab series and so on. And we're just pleased to be able to provide that variety on Saturday afternoons.
You know, we talked already about What Do You Know and the Capital Steps and Garrison Keillor all making appearances at the Big Top Chautauqua or that area during the summer. But I also noticed that David Sedaris and Ira Glass are going to be coming to Madison, the Overture Center in Madison, for the next season.
Yeah, I don't have the dates in front of me. David's in the fall, Ira is in the winter, and we'll be working with the Overture and with those folks. That should be really great. David Sedaris is a wonderful humorist. People most remember him for the Santaland Diaries, mm-hmm. but also I love the title of one of his books from when he was living in France, Me Talk Pretty Someday.
Oh, yes, I have that book. I love that, yeah.
And so David will be here, and Ira Glass, who, you know, you'd think, well, what does he do when he comes to a theater or something? And he talks about his radio show and illustrates ideas and thoughts, and it turns out to be just brilliant, and I will be excited to work with him as well. I wanted to return to something about Michael Feldman, too, and this ties in a thread with what Anne was talking about Alice in Dairyland. Alice in Dairyland will be in the town of Dane, in Dane County, this Saturday as part of the Breakfast on the Farm days that are happening all around the state, and What Do You Know is going to be there.
Oh, really?
At Breakfast on the Farm this Saturday in Dane. And so that should be an awful lot of fun.
And maybe Michael will milk a cow or something. No,
you never know.
You never know with Michael. Well, that'll be a lot of fun. We have other callers now, so let me go to Michael in Ellison Bay. Hello, Michael.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. I would like to ask Michael, what kinds of tensions do you experience in this incredibly polarized environment? Because as a fan of public radio, I love your objectivity, and I love the fair-handedness with which you present all kinds of issues, even if I don't agree with you being so fair-handed to the people I disagree with. But do you find it more difficult now because we're so polarized as a state and a nation?
That's a really interesting question, Michael. Thank you. Yes, it is definitely more challenging. I think that probably many of us fellow citizens of Wisconsin have found it surprising, for instance. I heard this the other day, and I thought, yeah, that's really true. It's a lot harder for us to talk about politics because people get so mad on either side. And we're not used to that. We're used to being able to have the civil dialogue that we talk about. And I'll add that a difficulty that I'm very proud of how people have dealt with this, but the fact that people who work for Wisconsin Public Radio are state employees, either of the ECB or of the university, means that some of the news that's going on about budgets very directly affects them, including the fringe benefits discussions and so on. And so that requirement that we have very deep in our hearts to try to be civil and to have a nuanced and a challenging conversation, some of our best broadcasts, I think, have resulted from that because we know where our mind and our heart is. But yes, definitely it has been more challenging.
Thank you very much, Michael, for the call. I feel a little weird tooting our own horn like this, but Wisconsin Public Radio, according to the Milwaukee Press Club, and I know other organizations, Station of the Year awards, huh, Mike?
Yeah, that was really great. We earned, and I like to say that about awards, is earned a lot of awards. Milwaukee Press Club and Public Radio News Directors, the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association, the Station of the Year award from Milwaukee Press Club, that always feels great to be called the Station of the Year, and has to do with just the sheer weight of incredible journalism and talk shows that we do and that we were recognized for by our journalistic peers. And you're right, it's hard for us to toot our own horn, but we are very proud of that. And, you know, it takes a lot of work just even to apply for the awards, and so to be recognized feels great.
Here's a comment from our listener log. We do get many callers from all over the state who will contact our audience services department, and all of these comments are saved, and we read them. We listen to the NPR News and Classical Music Network every morning. Yesterday, my four-year-old son came up to me and said, "Mama, it's 7:33, and I know that's the truth because Terry Bell said it." We never told him that Wisconsin Public Radio is more accurate than any other source, but we think it is, and he does too. Who knew Terry Bell was such an authoritative voice for preschoolers? Isn't that funny?
I love it. Another generation of public radio listeners being born. I love it.
Yeah. Terry Bell is the host, the Wisconsin host of Morning Edition, heard on our NPR News and Classical Music Service, which is going on right now on the other side of the glass, yeah, and on your NPR News and Classical Music station. Our next caller is Jeanette in Iowa City. Hello, Jeanette.
Hello. I would just like to make a comment about time management at the end of shows. Some hosts do a little better job than others, but I'd like to suggest that maybe the last 2 minutes be saved for the guest to sum up or the host to direct a last question, so that the guest actually has more than 30 seconds to respond. I understand you want to get as many callers in and as many questions in as possible, but I don't think it does anyone a favor to ask an intriguing question and give a guest less than 30 seconds, then interrupt them and sign off.
That's a good point. So here's a caller who wants the guest to have more time to sum up at the end of the program.
Very interesting, Jeanette, because I think your comments are a little different in thought from the ones from Brad earlier. What I was thinking about at the time, and you've reminded me of it, is that every single hour of Ideas Network programming is an improvisation. Now, it's done by someone who's very experienced at it, usually, unless it's a substitute host who's just trying out or something. But it can be a real challenge to know, do I really have time for the guest to give that wonderful 30-second answer, or do they really need 2 minutes to give the answer? And sometimes we get it right. Sometimes I think we really blow it. Joy, I've sat across the table here from you, and in the last minute or so, you're like, "So, any more thoughts?" And sometimes I have something that feels really great, and sometimes not so much. And so even as a guest of yours, it can be a challenge to know what to do with 30 more seconds or a minute or whatever.
Right. And it is a good point. And I think, Mike, you're right that sometimes we want to sum things up and recap what was talked about all hour. And sometimes, that caller asked a really, really great question, and the guest is going to take a little longer to finish his or her thought on that and bring us to very close to the end of the hour. So thank you, Jeanette.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? We have not a lot of time left.
I do have one thing I want to mention, because this was actually happening today, at least in our South Central stations. Listeners want to understand what we're trying to do with things like tornado and hail warnings and so on. And it can be confusing because, like this morning, our programs just get interrupted, and then you'll hear Joy and Sean come back and keep talking as if they don't know they were interrupted. Well, literally,
they don't.
The setup is that our emergency action system, or emergency alert system, is in the broadcast chain, as they say, after what we're doing right here, because we want it to go on immediately so that it offers the possibility of saving lives and so on. One of the challenges is sometimes if there's a lot of storms going through an area, that will interrupt the signal a whole number of times in a quick succession. It can make the programs a little disjointed, but the safety aspect seems worth it.
Mike, thanks a lot. Mike Crane is the director of Wisconsin Public Radio. He joins us usually the first Monday of every month to talk with you about Wisconsin Public Radio. But you don't have to wait until then. If you have a question or some feedback about Wisconsin Public Radio, you can call 1-800-747-7444. That's Audience Services. Or go to wpr.org, and you'll find places to contact us there. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.